I'm starting a new series today called Under Construction. Now, we got the wrong on there. That's my fault. But we're going to talk for about 4 weeks on the construction that God wants to do in our lives. And if you're a guest today or haven't been here in a long time, let me make a couple of statements just real quick. Number one, the exterior of our building probably looks worse today than it ever has. And the fact that you came anyway is much to your credit. Thank you for being here, even though the outside looks like it's been, you know, hit by a tornado. Since we're in that area of the world where those things happen, it could easily look like that. But the reality is they're going to be building it back. And give us just a couple of months, and you'll actually see what the front, we won't be done, but the front will be back in place, and it'll look finished, and you're going to go, oh, that looks good. So we're getting there, and thank you for being here today and joining us when the outside looks so rough, but it's going to look better. Although I think the inside looks pretty good. Our team's done a good job on getting this room ready as a place of worship. But here's the other thing, and so I've had a few of you tell me, I really like the gym. I could just worship in there forever. It's phenomenal. God bless you for your flexibility, but we have something better in mind. This is not bad, but when we get back to the sanctuary and it's finished out, it is going to be absolutely outstanding. And thank you for making the journey with us, and we'll all get there somewhere hopefully in April and at least be there by Easter, we're hoping for. We've already told the builders and all the guys involved in the process, we're more concerned with getting it right than getting it fast. But if you can do quick and good both, that's awesome. So we're shooting for Easter. We'll see what happens, okay? If not, Mother's Day is not far after that. Somewhere in before long, we're going to be in that sanctuary, and I'm excited about it. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is concluding a teaching called the Sermon on the Mount. Now, I think very clearly most people would agree that what Matthew writes is kind of the cliff notes of the message. Often when Jesus taught, based on stories we read in other places, he would teach until the day was gone and people would be ready to eat. That often happened that when he finished. By the way, how many of you feel just more rested today because you got an extra hour of sleep last night? Now, don't raise your hands, but I know that your stomach right now is telling you it's noon. So just, Lord, help everybody not to be hungry for an hour, and we'll be good. We're going to have a good day today, and I think you'll be glad you're here, but it's good to get an extra hour of rest. The flip side of that is it seems later than it really is. So Jesus would often preach until the people were hungry, so don't feel bad for yourself, okay? And they would often figure out what we're going to do to feed them. It went a long time. But when we get to the end of chapter 7, the end of the message, he gives a verse that's often quoted today, maybe one of the most quoted verses in America today, "Judge not, lest ye be judged." Now, that verse is often taken out of context, pulled out of its surroundings to make this statement that says, no one has the right to ever speak about anyone else or what's right or what's wrong. Let everybody have their own boat and let them float wherever they want to. That is not at all what Jesus intended. He was talking about a heart that looks at people with a harsh, critical, negative, derogatory spirit. And he said, be careful about being harsh toward other people. That doesn't, because in the New Testament, we read this phrase, speak the truth in love. It's not a matter of that we can't speak the truth, but we don't want to do it with a long, hard finger pointing and decibels rising about 10 points and yelling at people how bad they are. We should not do that as followers of Jesus Christ. Harshness and hatred are not part of the DNA of Christians. Now, let me be clear. Most of the world doesn't have that problem today. Most of the church world doesn't have that problem today. We have moved so far the other direction that we've just kind of adopted this, well, let them figure it out and let They'll just kind of do whatever. See, I believe that God gave us the Bible because he means it. And when God says this is wrong, it's not because of an arbitrary thought that he had one day of just kind of throwing some things on a piece of paper. All of God's design, all of God's commands, all of God's direction, they are given for our benefit. Here's the reality of life. Well, let's just be real honest for a moment right now. Me, you, everyone in the room, everyone in the world, we get dumb sometimes. We make bad choices. You know, we do things that we don't think long term. How's this going to play out? And because of God knowing our nature, we have the Word of God. One reason, there's more to it than that, a lot more than that. But part of the reason is to help guide us into truth, because truth brings life. Truth brings prosperity. Truth brings success. I mean, how many of you just understand this principle real easy? Deceit and dishonesty never lead to good. And so the Bible gives us these commands. It helps us. And in this storyline here at the end of Matthew chapter 7, there's three things that Jesus talks about. Here's the reality of life. Everyone in the room, we're all building something. You're building something. At the very least, you're building a life. Maybe a career or a family. But we're all building something. Throughout life, you may build a variety of things. You may build a house. How many in the room have ever built your, had maybe not you personally, but you had a house built and you were part of that process? God bless you all. It's you starting on, this is going to be fun. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, what? I don't know. And this, and well, how did that get there? And what's going on? Janet and I moved in the house about a year ago, and it was built, but they made most of the decisions, and we just kind of nodded and said, looks great. And it was a wonderful experience. But building a house sometimes can be rather stressful. Maybe you're building a house. Maybe you're building a business. You know, building a business is always interesting. Often you go through points of great sacrifice. I know people in our church who, they've built a business from the ground up, and sometimes it required going without food and sleeping in places other than a house, maybe, or whatever that looks, all the things you do to get your business going. Maybe you've had another project you've worked on life that you're building. We're all building something. And the reality is this, we're all building our future. All of today's decisions determine what tomorrow looks like. Everything I do today, everything I go through in process of life, I'm building my future based on my choices today. And Jesus gives us three examples. I think they build on each other. The first one he gives comes in verse 13 through 14 of Matthew 7. It reads like this: enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. Those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Now, how many of you would have enjoyed it if when you were in school, your teacher, before they gave you the options of answers on a test, if they actually gave you the answer? I was at in Oklahoma City yesterday teaching a class to people who are going to be ordination candidates with Oklahoma Assemblies of God. And I told them up front, I'm going to give you all the answers. And my teaching for you today is I'm telling you what's on the test. So if you listen, you should pass. I am very happy to tell you there were 10 students in there and they all passed. It was a little harder than it sounds because there was a lot to remember, but we went through it. Jesus gives the same instruction for us. He tells us what to do before he presents the options. He gives us instruction. And here's what he says: enter by the narrow gate. There's so much that could be said, and I'm going to restrict my comments a bit today because we have a lot happening this morning. But the reality is, this same kind of story, this same kind of observation came to us from Moses in Deuteronomy 30. As he talked to the people and he said, I put before you life and death. Joshua said the same thing in Joshua 24. A verse that probably many of you have, if you have scripture on your wall, you may have this one. He says, I put before you life and death. You don't have all of this. You have the last part. I put before you blessing and cursing. I put before you good and evil. And he says, choose life. And he goes on to say, you make the decision. If you want to serve the gods on the other side of the river. But as for me and my house, what does he say? We will serve the Lord. He said, there's a choice. Now notice, this is contrary to our culture today, which preaches this gospel of pluralism that says, oh, there's a lot of ways and there's several things. Jesus says there's not only not a lot of ways. He says there's only two. You're either following Christ or you're not. Now, some people get really upset and say, well, that's very exclusive. That's not very inclusive. We should maybe rethink that whole thing. Listen, if I have at my house, by the way, this happened when I was a child, my parents had under the counter some like poison for mice or rats. Now, this would have been back in the 60s before they had all of the tree huggers saying we shouldn't make things so strong. I mean, back then, if a mouse smelled the poison, it killed them. I mean, it was strong stuff. And I ingested some of that. So when I was about 2.5 years old, I got to go see the emergency room of the hospital. And they pumped out my stomach. Now, we could look at something like poison and say, well, maybe we shouldn't be so harsh in the way that we view that. Maybe we should say, it will hurt, possibly hurt you. It could hurt some people. Now, let me help you out. You can call it exclusive if you want to, but if you eat poison, you're going to die. Listen to me. There is only one way that you connect with God the Father, and it's through Jesus Christ. There are a lot of good people in false religions. I'm not questioning their human goodness, but human goodness, the Bible says this about that. All of us, there's not one righteous, no, not one. The reality is we all have this human nature that leans towards selfishness. Isn't it amazing every time we look at a group picture that we're in, we don't have to think about who am I going to look at first? Every time you come to church and it's donut day, you're probably not thinking, I sure hope George gets here soon before they run out. You're probably thinking, I need to get three more before they're all gone. Human nature always focuses on me. Jesus says that there's this broad road, and basically it's marked by selfishness. It's marked by what do I want out of life? What is easy? What is comfortable? Can I tell you this? It maybe doesn't fit in the notes perfectly, but it's a great thought. Students especially hear this. There is no short path to greatness. If you want your life to count for something, it doesn't come because you're sitting on your bed eating fried chicken. It doesn't come because you've made the commitment, I'm going to make sure that I'm stay up late to just do whatever I want to do, and I sleep late, and or someone said, maybe I'm going to go to bed early and get up late. Well, that's going to be probably the recipe for failure. See, life does not get good because you take the easy road. And spiritually, if you walk down the easy road, here's what Jesus says, it leads to death. You know, I like traveling on nice roads. Years ago when I lived in Missouri, one of my friends that lived in Oklahoma, he lives in Missouri now, and I live in Oklahoma. And when he was here, he always chided me about the fact, well, you know, I know we have to pay tolls in Oklahoma, but at least the roads are always good. That was true back then. Then I moved here, and I pay to drive on the roads, and they're always under repair. I don't understand it. I go back to Missouri, and the roads are all nice. They've got those all repaired over there, and they're free. Go figure. I like traveling on a nice road, but you know what? That's not my major concern in which road I'm going to take on a journey. You know what my major concern is? Which road gets me to where I want to go? And can I tell you that I've driven down some crazy roads in my lifetime because of where they were going to get me to. I've driven down some hard roads. Can anybody give me an amen, a witness there? Because they led to a place I wanted to get to. Listen, the reality is following Jesus Christ from our human nature may seem hard, may seem difficult. It may seem like you're giving things up. But the reality is what you receive in return is far superior to anything you ever give up. Jesus tells us, enter by the straight gate. See, here's what you have to know. Every road leads to a specific destination. If I decide this afternoon I want to drive over to Springfield, Missouri, where some of Janet's family lives and where I've got friends, and I'm going to go over there today. And I get on Interstate 44 West. It doesn't matter what I'm thinking. I may have driven an hour on the interstate and I'm not, paying attention. I think, well, I'm only about an hour and a half away. Nope, I just added 2 hours to my drive, the one I'm driving and the one to get back. Being on the wrong road always leads to the wrong destination. It doesn't matter how sincere you are. I could sincerely think I'm going the right way, but it leads to the wrong place. Here's what you have to know. Direction determines destination. If you want to get to the right place, you've got to get on the right road. Jesus said, I am the way. I'm glad you didn't say I am a way. I am the way. The only way we get to God the Father is through Jesus Christ. He starts off in this description of choices, and he says there are two roads. Choose the right one. You know, success in life is found on the untraveled road. Success in life is found when you go down the path no one's gone on before. How many of us have watched as something is developed, some new invention or whatever, and we all think, I should have thought of that. But you didn't. And the guy who went down that road that nobody had ever been down before became very well known, became very rewarded in life financially because he took the hard road, not the easy road. Now, if you're on the wrong road, I got great news for you this morning. God allows U-turns. You can get off the wrong road and you can get on the right road and become a follower of Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to make sure you're on the right road. Follow Jesus all of your life. Matthew 19:27, Peter says to Jesus, they're talking about just life and insurance. Peter says, we have forsaken all to follow you. And this illustration of the two roads ask us to examine the cost of our profession. What have we devoted to Jesus to be his follower? Have we given him control of our life? Have we given him control of our finances? Have we given him control of our calendar? You see, it's easy to do good things, but not to be fully committed. The question is, are we deeply committed to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we following him with our whole heart? I shared this before, but not long ago, I was talking to a Christian politician. I know that sounds like an oxymoron to some of you. But I would encourage you to pick up one of the papers that Pastor Kevin mentioned and come by sometime tomorrow or at your house or wherever you are. Spend some time in prayer for our nation. Let me just ask this. I don't think it's that hard even, so I don't know. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. How many of you will tomorrow, get that paper today, and tomorrow pray for at least 15 minutes for our nation and the elections that happen the next day? That's why we're having you pray tomorrow, because the elections are there. How many of you will do that? Just hand real high in the air. I encourage you to do that. If you want to come by and pray here in the fireside room, we'd love to have you come be a part of that. And I was talking to this Christian politician, and here's what he told me. He said, I realized I was doing something wrong. He said, every day I was waking up and I was asking God, telling him what I was going to do on the day, and I asked him to go with me. I got to be honest, I was pretty happy that a politician was asking the Lord to go with him. I thought, that's pretty good. He said, that's not good. And I said, explain. He said, I shouldn't be telling God what I'm doing and saying he can go with me if he wants to. I need to be saying every morning, God, guide me today to go where you want me to go. You know, the reality is a lot of things kind of look pretty good on the surface. Like, I'll let God go anywhere with me. Can I help you out with this? God's not wanting to go with you. He's wanting you to go with him. Get on the right road. Second thing he talks about, he says, there are two trees. Two trees. Now, by the way, this is a picture. I don't think Jesus ever was careless with his words. I don't think he was overly redundant with his words, making points maybe periodically, but he didn't say things just for the purpose of talking. And so when he talks about the two roads, that's the point of entry into being a follower of Christ. Now when he talks about the two trees, he's saying, now once you become my follower, here is the result that will happen every time for every person who is a follower of mine. Their life will become fruitful. They will produce the right things. How many of you know there are certain qualities that Christians should have in abundance? Matter of fact, read it later in Galatians chapter 5, which tells us when the Spirit of God has control of your life, these things will be produced. And it's not nine different things. It's a description of the Spirit of God, what it produces in you from nine different aspects. It should all be produced. You can't go, well, I'm really good in love and joy, but I'm not too good in peace. Let me help you out on what that would be like. It's talked about, it's called fruit or produce there. It would be like if you got an orange and you peeled it, and there, I don't know, somebody probably knows. Maybe, how many ever slice an orange? Are they always the same? Is it like eight or something? Are they all different? I don't know. Let's say there are eight slices in the orange. Sections, yes. Slices, whatever they are. How strange would it be for seven of those to be plump and juicy and perfectly ripe, but to have one that was kind of withered up? I've never seen that. I would take a picture. I would probably put it on Facebook. I haven't put anything on Facebook since my middle son got married. I've had another son get married. I've had two grandbabies born. Or one born since then. They didn't even make Facebook. But I think if I saw an orange that had seven sections that were strong, healthy, good, delicious, and one that was bad, I'd go, this is worth putting on Facebook. The fruit of the Spirit that is in you is not a smorgasbord. You don't pick the three or the five or the seven you like. You let the Holy Spirit work them all in you. And you're thinking, I want the love, joy, and peace is actually pretty good, but forget patience. No. You take them all. And here's what Jesus says. He says, he's talking about being on the right road. Then he talks about these two trees, and he says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, verse 15, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Now, let me throw this out real quick. You remember the first verse of the chapter that I alluded to, it wasn't in your text, but the first verse, Jesus says, judge not lest ye be judged. Now, here in verse 15 and the 16, he says this, there are false prophets who are ravenous wolves. They're in sheep's clothing. They appear right on the outside, but on the inside, they're corrupt. And he says, you will recognize them by their fruits. Doesn't that sound a little bit like Jesus is telling us it's okay to evaluate a person's life to see if they are right or not? If you follow every voice that is loud, your life is going to be a mess. It's going to get a little more weird in a minute for some of you who don't understand these concepts. If you follow people who even are able to produce miraculous signs and think, well, that surely must be God, here's what the Bible says, you could be misled. The Bible teaches us that character is the most important thing. He goes on to say, you'll recognize them by their fruit. Are grapes gathered from a thorn bush? That'd be kind of weird, huh? or figs from thistles. So every healthy tree bears good fruit. Let me go back and say that again. So every healthy tree bears good fruit. I think that's simple enough. You can say it with me, okay? It's verse 17 if you've got the notes, and it's on, 17, where it is down there. So every, say it with me, so every healthy tree bears, wow, every, not some, are you a healthy tree? Are you the person you need to be? If you are, you will bear good fruit. Well, you know, it's just my nature. Exactly. Crucify it. Your nature will be the problem. But when you are a follower of Jesus and you follow him in salvation and you accept what he did on the cross for your life, you die to yourself and then you come alive in him and then you begin to bear good fruit. Now, this is not a hard thing to understand. I think all of us would rather bear good fruit than bad fruit. Anybody ever take a bite of bad fruit? Pear, apple, grapes. You're eating grapes, you eat them like by the hand. I eat them by the handful. And sometimes you're eating grapes and they're all good, and there's one that you didn't really look at close as you should have in there, and it's not like the orange, because oranges, they're all good, but in grapes, there can be a bad one in there occasionally, and you pop that bad boy in your mouth. It's like your mouth got hit by a freight train. I mean, it's like, what did you just do to me? See, we are to be a light to our world. They're to see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. By the way, Jesus is who said that, so don't go, I don't know if I believe that or not. Okay, Jesus said that. And we are to bear good fruit. We're to live the right kind of life. He says the fruit that you have shows who you are. He goes on to say a healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit. Well, let me back up. So every other tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. That sounds kind of scary, doesn't it? Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone, we're going to get really weird here now. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, interesting word there on the day, who will say to me? What's the word? Verse 22, on that day, many. On that day, many. Wow. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your names and do many mighty works in your names? And then will I declare, I is Jesus there, then I will declare, I never knew you. Now, it's kind of a scary thought, but here I can help you not be scared of it. Because the whole point is, what's more important than the things that you do is the condition of your heart. Doesn't the devil have a way of playing the middle against, both sides against the middle? And if God's used in big ways, he tries to put pride in our life. If God's not used, he tells us we're a failure. He's always working everything against us. Listen, I wish I had an easy formula that would tell you do these five things and boom, you're good. But by the way, if you ever hear anybody telling you that, run. And hold on to your wallet as you're going. For only $49.95, I will send you my... I don't have this mass production formula that's going to guarantee what happens in your future. But I tell you this, if you will abide in Jesus, if you will allow him to be the source of your life, if you get grafted into him, you will produce good fruit. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have... Can you imagine... It'd be so awesome if, like, I heard a song last night that said if stained glass windows could talk and pews could shout what they would say. But have you ever thought, what if trees could talk? Most of you haven't, and that's okay, because you look at me like, no, I have not. But have you ever, what if trees could talk? Could you ever imagine a branch of a peach tree going, okay, really need to have a good day today. Want to put a peach out. I'm going to have to work hard. No. The tree on the peach tree would simply say, all I have to do is stay connected to the tree. Then I'm going to have peaches. I'm just going to hang around until the peaches show up. Now, I'm not saying it's automatic for everyone, but I will say it is automatic for everyone who is connected to Jesus. By the way, the whole point of this story is not so we go out and examine everybody else in the world, but first of all, that we look at our own lives. Isn't it amazing how we excuse ourselves and judge others when we ought to be doing the opposite? Just a thought for you. We're commanded to beware because there are false prophets out there. And just because they say, Jesus told me, even if they have miraculous signs that follow them. By the way, you guys know this, that when the end times come, the false prophet and the Antichrist, one of the reasons people are going to be drawn to them, you know what's going to draw them to them? Their supernatural acts. And people are going to say, wow, that must be good if they can do that. Okay, first of all, any supernatural thing that ever happens comes from God, not from a person. Quit looking at people and start looking to Jesus. Some people are going to say, we did all this stuff, and Jesus is going to say, I never knew you. Your conduct reveals your character, and by conduct, I mean your sustained conduct, the way you act in, day out, the way you live your life, shows where your character is. Live right all the time. Produce good fruit. Let love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, let those things be in your life. Let the things be developed in your life that bring glory and honor to God. Just make this commitment. I am a tree of God. I am the righteous tree of God, and I am producing good fruit in my life because the Holy Spirit is working in me to accomplish that. Third thing, he says there's two houses. Here's the construction part. He says two houses. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Let me back up. When I read scripture, I print it out like this, and I mark it and circle it and highlight. I circled a lot in this passage. Look at what he says there. Who does he say will be like a wise man? Everyone who does what? Who hears and does. Who hears and does. Not just who hears. I've been to Sunday school class, haven't missed a Sunday in 48 years. I've heard lots of good teaching. Okay. I've been to services, and I've heard preachers all over the United States of America. Okay, hearing's great. But are you doing it? Are you doing it? Whoever hears and does the word is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rains fall, the flood came, the wind blew and beat on that house. Anybody ever felt like you've been beat on by life? When you hear and do the word of God, even when the wind is beating on you, you will not fall. You will stand. You will succeed. You will be victorious. Why? Because you hear and do the word of God. But the foolish man hears the word. Wow. But he heard the word?
Yeah.
He heard the word. He just didn't do it. He might have even amen. Woo, that's good. I like when you amen. When it's appropriate. But it's not about amening. It's about what happens when you leave the room. See, this trilogy of stories is, first of all, starts with the journey. Where you starting out at? I'm a follower of Jesus. Awesome. And second, so how's that affected your life? Well, you know, I'm just human. Well, stop it. Be who you are in Christ and grow. Produce fruit. Okay, I'm working on that. Well, what are you going to do when a tough time comes? Well, I'm going to try to stand. No. If you do that, you'll fall. What am I going to do? Before the storm gets here, I'm going to hear and obey the word of God. And let the storm come. By the way, storms come to all people. You can't avoid the storm, but you can overcome it. And here's the key. The quality of your foundation determines the strength of your stability. If your foundation is weak, listen to me, you will suffer great loss. Look at the last part of the story, the way Jesus reads it. Everyone who hears the words and does not do them would be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the flood came, and the wind blew and beat against the house. Notice this. And it fell. And great was the fall of it. Listen to God's word and obey him completely. Why do we not obey God? Because we think we found a shortcut. Oh yeah, you found the broad road. That's great. You found easy street. Okay, leads to a bad place. You may want to get off of that. Narrow road means no room for baggage. It means you strip everything off and you just say, Lord, I'll follow you. Completely and wholeheartedly. Those of you that attend here regularly, you know my philosophy on this. I try to get saved every day. It's not that I lose it. It's not that I'm insecure in my salvation. I just like it so much. I like salvation better than I like Krispy Kreme donuts. And I like Krispy Kreme donuts. But every day I just want to come back to that place where I say, God, I just want to renew my commitment to you today. I want to ask you to help me stay on the narrow road. I want to ask you, would you just do what needs to be done in my life to make me a productive tree? By the way, productive trees require a little bit of work from the master gardener. I like when the fruit's there. That's fun time. But then they're all gone and the master gardener comes out and says, that limb right there is not productive. That one needs to come off. And he prunes. And what's the purpose of the pruning? To make me more productive. How many of you need God to bless you with wisdom so when the pruning comes, you realize the ultimate goal is for your good? I do. Then I'm building the house. I don't want my house to collapse. I want my house to last. I want to stand strong for God. Here's what I want to do today. I want to ask you a couple of questions. Number one, are you sure you're on the right path? Are you following Jesus? Well, I'm trying to be a good person. Look, my goodness, the Bible says it this way. When I do my very best in my own effort, my human effort, my best goodness is like a dirty, bloody, nasty rag. It is worthless. I said me first because I didn't want you to get offended at what I'm going to say right now, but it's the same thing for you. Your best effort's just not nearly good enough. The only righteousness that God looks at and says, pass, that's good, that gets a passing grade, is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So you have to get in Him. You have control of your life. Are you on the right path? If not, get on the right path today. Are you producing fruit? Are you maturing? Are you growing? Are you getting more like Jesus every day? Number three, have you developed such a deep commitment to God? You're able to say, whatever comes my way, I will stand for God. I want you to bow your heads for just a minute. I'm going to ask these questions in a yes, no, and I hope everybody here will respond on one side or the other, because you should. There's only two options, two choices. How many of you in the room right now would say, I am on the right road. I am following Jesus Christ. I'm doing what I need to do to follow Him. Lift your hand super high right now across the room. Most hands, some weren't raised. Put the hands down. How many of you would say, and not in a prideful, but just an absolute evaluation point, I am producing good fruit through the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. I am showing the character of Jesus. I am showing the heart of Jesus. I'm developing those things. I'm producing good fruit. How many of you say, that's me? Raise your hand real high all across the room. Yeah, a lot of you. How many of you would say, I have built my house in obedience to God and His Word? And because I'm building my house in obedience to Him, I know that when storms come, they will not knock me down. I will survive. I will overcome. I'm building my house in obedience to God. Would you just lift your hand real high right now? I'm doing that. Thank you. Thank you. I want everybody to stand up with me. There's a lot of you that didn't raise your hands to one of those three things. And I think every preacher feels this way. I wish I knew how to make this moment meaningful for you, but I can't do it. I can make you come to the front, or I can make you go up on the walking. I can do all kinds of stuff to try to make it all happen. But the reality is, it's what's going on in here that matters most. So the key right now is, as you're standing there, if you look back and you say, you know, I couldn't say yes to those three questions. There's an area where there's something I need more in my life. I'm going to ask you right now, as I pray, to say, God, you know what I need. God, bring me to a place of salvation, if that's what you need. God, develop the right things in my life, if that's what you need. God, help me to obey your word completely so that I have stability when storms come. Would everyone bow your heads for a moment? I'm going to ask you to do this just as a kind of a sign or symbol of your commitment. If you would say right now, one of those three questions I couldn't say yes to, but I want to be able to say yes to all three. And I want God to help me to pick the right road, to produce the right fruit, and to have stability when storms come. I want God to help. Would you just raise your hand and keep it up? You don't even have to raise it very high, but just raise it up and hold it up for just a minute. As I pray right now, you let the prayer also. Father, I thank you that your word says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, that means more than just a verbal proclamation, but it means to call upon you as Lord and Savior. And I pray today, if there are people who are on the wrong road, that you would help them today by the power of your Holy Spirit to get on the right road. Not to take the easy way, but to take the way of selfishness away and to live a life of selflessness. Lord, I pray that you help us to allow you to produce within us the fruit that needs to be there, not in our strength, but in yours. And I pray, Lord, that as we obey your word, you would give us stability in life. Lord, I pray that you would do that now for each person here today. In Jesus' name.